Welcome to Flip the Script Wellness. I'm Heather Boggs, and today my guest is Colleen Boggs. Colleen is my daughter. She's a sophomore in college, and I'm happy to have her on today to talk a little bit about how she's flipped the script on some areas of her life. As a parent, it's always interesting to watch your children grow from little kids into tweens and then teens and then into their adulthood. But it's been especially exciting watching Colleen develop into the woman that she's becoming. I want to talk to her about some ways that she has grown and changed and how she's living her best life now. So welcome, Colleen.
Hi.
So Colleen is on break this week and had some free time. So I had her put on her Instagram kind of a little question about what people would want to hear us talk about. And her friends piped up with some ideas, and so we're going to try to touch on some of them today. But I wanted to start by saying that one of the things I've noticed most about Colleen over the last couple years is how comfortable with herself she's become. So what do you think contributed to the shift?
I think it mainly started when we went into quarantine last spring. Because I had a lot of time just by myself, and I was able to just learn a lot about myself and see what I liked and what I wanted to do and be when there was no one around, because I was basically just with my family, and obviously I know my family will never judge me, so I had really the freedom to experiment with a lot of different aspects of my personality and my style, and basically everything about myself without really the influences or the judgment of anyone else. Going to college was also definitely a big factor because I go to Wellesley College, which is a very liberal, accepting, diverse school, and everyone at Wellesley can basically kind of wear and do and be interested in whatever they want, and they'll be accepted for it. It's just a very accepting and diverse community. So in some ways, when I went to college, I was able to experiment more with myself because I knew that I was going to be accepted by my peers just because of the peers that I was surrounded with, as compared to the peers I had in high school, which it was definitely harder to be unique in high school because there's just a lot of expectations of what you are supposed to do and like and wear and whatever. But then there was also kind of another side when I got to college where I had all these expectations of what I was supposed to do for fun and who I was supposed to be and what college was supposed to be like that didn't actually really align with what I really am, but I still kind of fell into that expectation because I figured that's kind of just how college is supposed to be. So I spent those first few months kind of living what I thought was the typical expected college experience. But then when I came home for about a month over Christmas break, I realized that that kind of actually wasn't making me happy and that I was just doing the things I was doing because I thought that was what college was supposed to be. But that wasn't really what I wanted it to be for myself. And then when I went back in January for the spring semester, I was kind of struggling because I knew what I didn't want, which was what I was doing in the fall, but I didn't know yet what I did want. I didn't really have the chance or put in the work to kind of figure out what I wanted my life to be and who I actually was. So it was really hard because I knew what I didn't want, but I didn't know what I did want. And those couple months were actually kind of hard for me. And so when we got all sent home in March because of COVID, I was kind of relieved and excited to go home because I could at least see my family. And so, yeah, it was kind of a blessing in some ways for me because I was able to be away from that environment and figure out what I actually wanted my life to be like in the comfort of my home.
You say the comfort of your home, but home became a very full place with everybody moving home. Your brother moved home from college. Your other sister and brother were here. You share a room with another sister. Dad was working from home. I had recently left my job and was now kind of working from home as well. So how did you adjust to moving back home?
So I would say one of the biggest adjustments for me was just adjusting to my actual physical environment changing and living and working in a shared room with my sister, because coming home, knowing that I was going to be at home for 6-7 months at that point, I really wanted to create an environment that I was going to be happy living in. And I'm extremely affected by the physical environment around me. I always have been. So I need to be surrounded by things that bring me joy, because that is one of the main factors in my motivation in general and my happiness levels. So we definitely went through a long period of just rearranging and redecorating a million times to try to create a space that was comfortable and worked well for both of us, because we were both also doing online classes and needed somewhere that we could both live and work, because there's only so much room in this house to get school and work done. So that was a big thing for me, was trying to figure out what things in my space would do that for me, what I wanted to surround myself with in order to feel the best about myself. And in going through that process of creating a space that I felt like myself in, I realized that I could kind of do the same thing in other parts of my life. So during this time, I experimented with different clothing styles, different routines, different hobbies, basically anything you can think of, because I had the chance to try new things and to see what worked well for me. And one big factor, I think, in this was actually going on Pinterest. I literally love Pinterest so much. And in the hectic, unpredictable life that we were all experiencing, Pinterest was kind of a nice escape to just imagine what I wanted my dream life to be. And I spent a lot of time just creating this vision of what I would really love my life to be like. And although some of it wasn't attainable then, and there's a lot of things that obviously are more wild dreams compared to the life I'm currently living, I realized that there actually were changes I could make, small changes that would make the life that I have closer to that dream life that I created in my mind and on my Pinterest boards. So that's when I started kind of changing these small things about myself to feel more like the vision that I had in my mind of what I wanted myself to be like.
It's funny because this was the beginning of a new chapter for me as well, since I was, you know, leaving over a decade of church work to starting my own venture with Flip the Script. And here we are all at home. And I also wanted our home environment to reflect me and us as a family better. So it meant repainting the downstairs and getting rid of lots of things that no longer served us and doing some rearranging, reorganizing. And that kind of fresh start, clean slate, new chapter vibe, I think, has lent itself to small shifts, I think, for all of us as a family. I think we're all a little bit more whole in some ways, even though we've missed a lot of things this last year. I think we've also gained a lot of things in terms of self-understanding, redefining what's important to us, and looking, you know, forward in terms of what is important to us and what aligns with who we are. So one of the topics people wanted to hear us talk about was spirituality. And for most of your life, I was either involved or working at the church. Your dad was also really involved in the church work as well. And this last year has kind of been the first time in your life that we were not kind of tied to our church life and Christianity. What did that shift do for you in terms of your personal spiritual journey?
Yeah, so I guess like before this past year, I never really considered other forms of spirituality or religion or other practices, because I enjoyed being in the church life and I never had any bad experiences with it. I enjoyed going to church. I enjoyed the community there. It felt like it was uplifting for me, and yeah, I enjoyed it. But then when there wasn't that structure anymore, when there wasn't really a church to go to because we were all in quarantine, I had the room to kind of discover and learn about other practices that could potentially bring that same type of peace and growth and introspection into my life that wasn't through the church. And so I kind of got into different practices then. And so I learned about meditation and astrology and tarot. And so astrology was definitely a great way for me to learn more about myself. And there's really so much that I didn't know about astrology. I would say I pretty much only knew that I was like a Capricorn. And that honestly for a lot of years didn't really resonate with me because Capricorns are kind of painted as these like cold, humorless, hardworking like machines. And I was like, that's kind of lame. I don't want to be that when there's like other ones that are way cooler than that. But then once I kind of started learning about all the different dimensions of myself that I could learn about through my chart, it helped me better understand myself. And also now I've learned more about how the different solar transits affect me and stuff like that. And it helps me understand changes in my life and my moods and my emotions and how I connect with others and what relationships are maybe easier or harder for me depending on their chart. And I really enjoy it. I just think astrology is really fun. And everyone in my family knows I'll always be talking about it. Like, if everyone is on edge, I'll be like, it's because the moon is in Scorpio. Like,
right.
And it's comforting because it's comforting to realize that, like, they're actually, everyone wants to know that there's a reason for the things that they're experiencing. And I don't think astrology in any way is the one reason because we experience a lot of forces, social and astrological and, you know, interpersonal, whatever. So it's just nice to know that, like, there's forces outside of ourselves that mm-hmm. kind of impact our lives and impact how we are. And then I would say the other main thing that I've developed over the past year is understanding my intuition. I used to think that your intuition was just kind of your gut and it was a personal thing and it was just inside of you, but it wasn't really a divine thing. But then as I was doing research on meditation and later on tarot, I realized that your intuition is actually one of the easiest and fastest ways to connect with the divine because you just know when something feels right and you can really use that to your advantage. So I always kind of struggled with meditation because I have a really active mind and I'm always, you know, a little bit stressed out about something. So it was really hard for me to be able to still my mind and you know, not think about anything or think about what I have to do later.
Right.
And so, I took a yoga class my first semester in college and we would always like take 5 or 10 minutes in silence. And I honestly kind of hated it because it wasn't silent to me. It was right. just like a time for me to think about my assignments that I had to do after class. So that was always kind of hard for me, and it's definitely something that I'm working on, you know, hopefully. I feel like I'm a little bit better at it now, but it's definitely a process, a learning process. But with tarot, when I started, I got my first tarot deck, I think it was in October of 2020. I loved it because it was this physical way to connect with my intuition where I could see it in front of me instead of having to try to make sense of what I was feeling. And I just, like, let my intuition guide me when I do it. And the message is always, I always understand them and it makes sense. And it's like, oh, yeah, I was feeling this, but I just didn't have any way to put what I was feeling into words. Mm-hmm. What I was receiving, like, the divine messages I was receiving, I didn't have a way to understand them. And I think tarot is a great tool to be able to understand it. And kind of going along with that, I always get a lot of questions from people asking me, you know, how many times a day should I do this thing? Or what's the correct way to do this thing? And I always tell them, it's probably not really the answer they want to hear because they probably want an actual answer. But I always just say, you know the answer. Like, whatever your gut, your intuition is telling you to do, there's a ton of different ways that you can shuffle or pull cards in your tarot deck. And they're all valid. You just have to do the one that calls to you in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I do it differently, like, every time. I've probably never done the tarot reading the same way because it's your tool and it's going to be different for everyone because it's a personal thing. So I think that, like, trusting your intuition is one of the most important parts of developing your spiritual practices in a way that they're going to benefit you the most that they can.
Mm-hmm. I know for me, some of the shifts I've had in terms of spiritual practices the last year, one, the gift of time has really allowed me to develop my meditation practice. I meditate pretty much every day, at least once a day, and that sense of connectedness and oneness with the divine and, you know, learning more about the unified field and just like the quantum physics of how we're all connected and the multidimensional aspect to how the universe is really fascinating and interesting to me. And in contrast to that, you know, expansive universal sense of the divine and energy, I've also been really drawn to our energetic connections here on planet Earth, like nature and crystals and just the magnificence of creation. It's inspired me to learn more about Celtic traditions and Druid traditions. And there's just so much wisdom in all of these traditions that I think even in their ancient origins really ring true in today's, at least for me in my life, in the everyday. I had an episode a while back where I talked about spirituality, and you know, I feel very strongly that all spiritual paths are valid, and anything that connects you to a higher power and a sense of all of humanity being connected and reminds you of our responsibility to one another and to the planet is where it's at. And, you know, obviously, I was raised Christian. I raised my children Christian. But that is because I was born in the United States to a Christian family. And if I had been born somewhere else, I may have followed a different path. And so my path is not any more valid or true or virtuous than anyone else's path.
Yeah, people always ask me what my religion is. And I definitely don't think that I'm not a Christian because I never lost Christianity. I still feel connected to it and I still appreciate it. I just also have these other practices that are combined with it now. And I get a lot of questions from people who are in a similar situation who have been Christians their whole lives, but want to learn more about spiritual practices and want to develop that side of their spirituality. And I always just say, go for it, because my understanding of God is that God would want you to find the practices that are fulfilling to you and that help you connect with the divine power, however you define it.
So as you've been on this journey of self-discovery and self-awareness and kind of living more into your true and authentic self, how has that impacted your friendships and relationships?
I think that your friendships are kind of built on whatever version of you that your friends think is the real version. So if you build a friendship based on a false personality that you've just put on because that's the expectation, then that's what your friends are going to expect from you. So friendships that I've had in the past that were built on like more ingenuine version of myself weren't as fulfilling and didn't feel as good because you felt like the person didn't actually know who you are. But the relationships that I have now, and some that I've had for a long time that have always been built on more genuine, mm-hmm. you know, a more genuine understanding of who I am, just feel more right and feel more authentic because they're built on that person knowing who you actually are and loving that version, the real version.
Yeah. When you have a pretense in your friendship, like it's work. It's like you're not that it's fake or that you're performing, but it's just not, there's just not an ease in it that yeah. exists when you are kind of fully in yourself.
Yeah. And then I think the other major thing that is different now is I definitely don't rely on the validation of my friends or my relationships as much as I did when I was younger, because I'm secure enough in who I am by myself that I don't rely on the validation from other people to feel good about myself. They're just nice additions to my life instead of people that I rely on to feel good. I already feel good by myself, and then I can feel good with them. And I think that relationships that are built off of confidence in yourself and being okay with who you are when you're alone are the healthiest relationships, because now you're just coming together to add to each other's lives instead of depending on each other to have a good life.
Right.
And then I think the other main change that has happened in my life over the past year or so is that I don't really worry about how others are going to perceive me now in what I do, what I wear, what I post, because that's just a waste of energy, and you have no ability to control how people are going to perceive you and if they're going to judge you. And I always tell people, they're probably not thinking about you. We all think that people are thinking about every move we make, but if you think about yourself, you spend most of your day thinking about yourself, and everyone else is like that too. So yeah, there's a small chance that someone might have a 1 second thought about your funky outfit that you wear to the grocery store, but they're not going to spend the rest of their day thinking about it, because right. We don't think about other people that much. And it's just freeing to be able to pick what makes me happy, whatever that may be, and not worry about what others are going to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just easier. It's easier. It's the easiest to be yourself. That's the easiest thing you can do, because there's no effort when you're just being completely who you are. And I highly recommend.
Yeah, I think you're lucky in some ways, because I think our home is a relatively safe space for freedom of expression and being who you are. And I think, you know, when you return to campus in the fall and now you're home again and you'll go back in September, that's a place where you can live that life as well with relative ease. Not everybody has that.
Yeah. And kind of going along with that, I've told people, like, when I was in high school, it definitely wasn't that easy. And I understand that it is kind of a balance. You want to be yourself, but you also have to make decisions that will make your life the easiest socially. Right. And sometimes that means not wearing the crazy outfit to school because you just don't want to have to deal with the social implications of that choice, which is also totally valid. And I think it's just important to remember that everything is temporary and that there's a good chance that even if this current community you're in isn't very accepting, that hopefully one day you'll be surrounded with people who are more accepting of your authentic self.
Right. And, you know, and for the most part, any sense of negativity or judgment is more of a reflection of the person doing the judging or being negative than it is about you at all.
Yeah. I always think that, you know, no one coming from a place of total self-love would feel a need to judge you because they're secure in themselves. So whenever people do criticize, it's probably because, you know, maybe they wish that they had the freedom or the confidence to make those kinds of decisions. Or, you know, they're just having a really bad day for some other reason. And that knowing that any, you know, judgment is coming from that person's own places of struggle or, you know, insecurity is kind of reassuring to know that it isn't your fault that they're reacting to you that way.
You know, and it's ironic as a parent, or maybe not ironic, but like I can find myself getting preoccupied with concern over other people's thoughts or feelings. And I actually go to Colleen to help give me that reality check on, Mom, no one cares. Just do what you want to do. Or when I'm having self-doubt or insecurities, you know, she kind of pumps me up and reminds me that, you know, I am perfectly made and whole and am able to kind of live into that. So 47-year-old me depends on 19-year-old her sometimes to be my voice of reason, which is kind of cool. It was pretty cool to have you on to talk kind of formally on the podcast. Colleen and I talk all the time. I mean, we have a very close relationship and we're different in a lot of ways, but we're also alike in a lot of ways, which means that when we are fired up about stuff, it can be intense and it can be loud and it can be strong-minded and opinionated and fierce. But I think that's what makes our relationship strong, is that we're able to kind of be wholly and truly ourselves with each other and do it in a way that honors each other. And we apologize when we need to. And I think we have a pretty healthy relationship. I mean, even though I'm the mom and she's the kid, I think I've always valued her honesty, even at times when it can be a brutal honesty. And I think she values mine as well. We've had lots of challenging conversations where we've had to talk about some hard truths and ways in which we need to be better. And I appreciate that dynamic that we have. Yeah. All right. So is there anything you want to add before we wrap it up?
Well, it was great to come on here. We've been talking about this for a long time, me coming on the pod. So it was nice to be able to share just a couple pieces of wisdom that I've learned in my short 19 years so far. And hopefully I can do it again sometime.
That'd be awesome. All right, well, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
You can find Colleen on TikTok at Colleen Boggs. And on her TikTok, there's a link tree to some of her other accounts. You can find me at Flip the Script Wellness on Instagram or on my website at flipthescriptwellness.com. I'd like to thank Colleen again for taking the time to talk with me formally today. And I'd like to thank the musical group Slancha for the introduction music. As you go about your day, I hope that you are living your best life as your truest self, and I hope that you are well. Take care.